Good evening, everybody.
Hey.
So whenever I get up front here, I'm tempted to go back to my my Mennonite days and start speaking in King James while I'm up here in my greeting. I can still remember my dad. He'd get up and every time he would get in front of the pulpit, he would say, "Greetings in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who has risen from the dead," you know, and he'd just go in this long. He couldn't just say hello, you know, right? How you doing, you know?
That's great.
So good evening. Good to see
you.
Another thing my dad was notorious for was, and it was well known for to my older brothers because they experienced this, was if there was a Martin boy that was acting up, he would stop in the middle of his service and call that Martin, because in the churches they had platforms, and they had the deacon's chairs behind the,
no.
Oh yeah, right there.
Right there.
One time, it happened once. And that was it, that cured it.
So.
So if you know, if you all of a sudden I stop the service and I call one of these two up here,
watch out, Derek,
because they're on their phone or they're, you know.
No, that's him.
All right. So let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you and praise you for all your mercies and graces to us, Lord. We are so grateful for what you've done for us, that you love us and are merciful to us. And you call us your own, and we thank you for that, Father. We praise you for how wonderful you have worked in our lives, each one of us. We thank you for giving us this group of people, this body, to fellowship, to grow together. And we just pray that you would give us strength and help us to be strong in these days. Help us to stand for you. In Jesus' name, amen. So Pastor asked me to speak tonight. I've had some things going on in the back of my mind as far as if I ever taught that I would teach about. I remember Pastor Wood. Sorry, it's been a week. Pastor Wood telling me, in the only way that Pastor Wood could, he said, "Hey, if you're gonna be a deacon or you're gonna be even a Christian, you better have a sermon prepared at a moment's notice. You have one prepared already. That's what Christianity, walking through Christianity is like, and that's." And he said it very bluntly to me, obviously, as you can imagine. Yeah. I think the words idiot was used, and, you know. No, but I constantly remember that. He was one of those mentors, along with my father, that really displayed and really characterized that for me. He could. You called him up, he can give you a whole sermon right like that. My father was exactly the same way. He had a knack for that. In fact, I at his funeral, one of the pastors that did his at my dad's funeral said that One time they did service in the prison, because my dad was a prison chaplain, and Sunday nights they would go in and do a church service. And he took this young guy that was a new pastor or studying to be a pastor in with him, and said, "All right, I want you to get up and I want you to do a short period, do a devotional and things like that, and then I'll get up and I'll preach a sermon." And this pastor, this young pastor, said he was mulling over this for days, and he was just, "What am I going to say?" And he had this whole thing laid out, notes and everything, and even for a short period, just this short little sermon that he was going to do. So he got up and he did his thing and sat down, and my dad said to him, "Hey, Leon, do you remember where that verse is that says such and such?" And he goes, "Yeah, I think it's in Ephesians something." He goes, "Oh, yeah, okay, yeah." And he got up and did a whole sermon on that verse, and he didn't even know where it was. And he had no preparation whatsoever. It was just something that he could do. And he was gifted in that way. And he had done it for so long that it was easy for him. Now, it's not like he didn't study. He did. I remember years of waking up on a Sunday morning, and he was up at 4 o'clock on a Sunday morning to prepare for his, service. And so that's always been a challenge to me. But I was thinking, especially over this time, we've experienced some loss here recently, and just speaking on preparation, Pastor did some sermons recently on preparation for us, and we should be prepared. And so if I was to name what I'm going to say tonight, I would say title would be prepared to stand. The loss of Chris and, the losses that we've experienced here reminds us, or should remind us, how short our time is. And that's not something to worry about, obviously. It's not something to be concerned about. I look forward to it, personally. There's nothing I would rather, or no place I would rather be right now than standing with all them. But at the same point in time, we need to be prepared for that, but we also need to be prepared to live. We have a calling here on this earth, and there's nothing that Satan wants to do more than to pull us from that calling. So if you would, turn with me to Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Part of what I've been thinking about lately is the armor of Christ, or the armor that Christ gives us. And Andy, you're close to the mic there. Can you fire up that other mic, Liam? Could you read that for us?
Which verse?
10 through 18, please. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18.
"Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on that whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Just verse 19?
That's good. Thank you. Okay. So I'm going to be bouncing around over the scripture a little bit. The couple things that really caught my eye when I was reading this was the fiery darts of the wicked one. I don't know if all of you were here when I spoke out about bees buzzing around your head, and how the first thought when you've got a bee buzzing around you is to start ducking and swatting and moving and carrying on, and how that reminded me of, you know, thoughts that the devil puts into my head, you know, kind of like these fiery darts. Notice he doesn't really say, he doesn't say spears or something that, you know, is really powerful. What's a dart? Small, right? And it's on fire. The devil knows that he cannot kill us, right? As Christians, we stand on that. We stand on the fact that we are eternally Christ's. Amen? We stand on that fact, and we live by that. And so the devil knows that, and he can't get at that. But what he can do is he can distract us. He can throw those little darts, and those little darts will hit, and they'll stick, and they'll start to burn. And that burning is kind of like the process. We might get a little jab here, and then it may not, maybe just a quick thought, or somebody says something to offend us a little bit, and it sticks. And it sticks there, and then it starts to burn. We start to think about this. We start to kind of ruminate on it, and after a while, what happens with fire? It starts to spread, right? Now, that is what the devil wants. The devil wants us to be distracted because he knows he can't kill us. As soon as we accept Christ, as we believe in him, we immediately are eternally Christ. So what does the devil have anymore but to distract us from what God has called us to do? One of those things that he distracts us with is sin, obviously. Turn with me to Hebrews 12. Verses 1.
Therefore also, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Here's an example of Paul is saying, lay aside those things that easily ensnare us. Sin is one of those things that easily ensnares us. And it came, it's another one of those darts that Satan hits us with. Let's be real here. We are all sinners, correct? We're born into it. We're born sinners. And Satan loves to bring that to our attention. He loves to distract us with that fact. You know, right? You can, if you had a chalkboard, you can write on that chalkboard, Josh Martin, sinner. John Stout, sinner. Jason Martin, chief of sinners. Andy Callahan, don't even get me started. He can distract us with that, and that soon can become our identity. That soon can over, it can be one of those darts that hits us and burns. It can be, we can get wrapped up in that, to the fact that we're distracted, worrying about sin, to the point where we're distracted from what we're supposed to do. Right? Our identity is not in sin. And Satan loves to hit us with that. He loves to say, hey, you're a sinner. You call yourself a Christian. You think you're saved. But what about this? You just did this. You just had this thought. You just blew up at a coworker. You just did that. This. You call yourself a Christian, but you keep doing this stuff. And he wants us to get distracted. And Paul says, set that aside. The only way we can overcome that is knowing, truly knowing our identity, right? As soon as we are in Christ and we believe in Him, our identity changes, right? Our identity is no longer wrapped up in that. And so as Satan comes at us, again, he's not coming at us to destroy our relationship with Christ. That's what he wants to do, but he can't. He knows he can't. He can distract us. He can keep us from living our life for Christ. He can keep us from witnessing to that coworker. He can keep us from serving in the church. Satan loves nothing more than to point out our weaknesses when we are asked to do something. When Pastor said, can you preach on Wednesday? He said that two nights ago. The first thing I thought of was, I'm not prepared. I'm not. What if I can't come up with something? I looked at my schedule and it was busy, and I knew I wasn't going to have a lot of time to pull stuff together. But and those doubts started coming. When somebody is close to us that we really should witness to, do we do it? Or do we let Satan get in that way? Too many times I've let that happen. I'm afraid to witness to the people around me because a lot of them know who I am. I'm sidelined because a lot of people know that Josh Martin doesn't have it all together. My pride, my arrogance gets in the way, and I don't hold on to that identity that I have in Christ. The identity I have in Christ is I'm a new creation. Turn to Romans 3:24, and let's read some of those identity verses. Romans 3:24 starts, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is Christ Jesus. We are justified. Romans 6:11. And there's a whole lot more of these, but these are a few. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but you are alive in Christ. Romans 8 is a beautiful one. There is, therefore, no condemnation. Doesn't say a little bit here, folks. There is none. None. No condemnation. These are verses to hold on to when the devil wants to steal your identity. He wants to tell you who you once were. Because we all were once dead in our trespasses and sins. But that's who we were. We are not that anymore. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You know, that's some beautiful truth that we need to hold on a daily basis. That's some of the armor that we put on. So let's go back to Ephesians. I'm going to read this over a little bit again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, putting on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, Pastor made a great comparison to the Wile E. Coyote. You know, that is classic because it's so true. You know, how much the devil wants to throw darts at us and, you know, just, you know, get us to think or get us to fall off a cliff or to get us to do, you know, distract us from who we are, what we're supposed to do. Putting on the whole armor of God, then you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts and wickedness in high places. How many of you think that we can fight the battle we can fight this battle. Anybody brave enough to fight this battle? We don't have the capability of fighting this battle. We really don't. That is Christ's job. That is his job. When we release that, we often say, and you're absolutely not right, not without Christ, but there's still, we still, even with that statement, we still hold on to a little bit of I can do this, right? There's still a little bit of, well, I can't do it, but I can do it as long as Christ is with. No, this is his department. He fights this battle. Later on in this, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness in this age. These are the darts coming in. After spiritual hosts in wickedness in the high place, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to what? Are we fighting here? Not at all. You know, it's kind of weird, and this kind of hit me kind of odd when I was reading over this. When you think of all this armor that we're supposed to go on, we're going into battle, right? Paul says here, you put all this armor on, not to fight. You put all this armor on just to stand. Just to be able to stand. Forget trying to swing that sword. You're putting this on just to stand. God does this fighting for us. God is the one that fights. We put this on so that we can stand. As Christians, we stand in the gap. When you are comforting somebody who's lost a loved one, you stand for them. When you coach a baseball team, you stand for them. When we honor somebody, we stand for them. We don't have the strength to fight. God's got that. It's not our job. But he does give us this armor so that we can stand. So that we can serve. So that we can serve each other. So that we can be there for each other. This is a great example that we had this week of, I saw a lot of you here that stood for Casey and Riley. As we go on in this time, standing is what God wants us to do. If you think about the climate we're in, I don't listen to the news anymore. And then I might not, I don't recommend that necessarily. But I'm not saying that you shouldn't listen to the news. I don't listen to the news because I don't trust it, for one. I don't trust what I'm hearing. And two, it just makes me angry. I mean, talk about a distraction. You know, you start listening to politics. I mean, a clip of the president of the vice presidential debate came on, and I watched what is a reel, like less than a minute, and I was already angry. I was already, you got to be kidding me, really. And we're distracted by that. It doesn't take me long, you know, until after a while, you know, if I listen to the news too much, you know, and I hear a gun debate, you know, till my anger pops up and my old man starts going and I'm, you know, ready to say, hey, come get them. I want you to see me use them, you know, as you come in. You know, but that's not right. That's a distraction from what I'm supposed to be doing. It's a distraction from ministering to those people who offend me. Doesn't really matter the perspective you're coming from. The people around us who disagree with us, we're still to minister to them. The people around that irritate us, we're still to minister to them. And the devil wants nothing more than to let those little irritations distract us from Christ and from our purpose. Those little irritations that come in and go. I can't hear from that person because they don't think the way I do. I can't think this way because this person, I can't help them because, well, they're, you know, not of the same mind as me. This weekend was a prime example of that for me. This weekend I had a trip planned to go up north to hunt at my brother-in-law's place. I do it every year at the same time. But this particular trip, I had taken a couple extra days. I had saved some from, you know, and I was really anticipating it. And I was distracted. Then I got the news that Chris had passed, and I got the news that the day I was supposed to leave was going to be his funeral. I was already supposed to be, actually, I was supposed to be up north on Friday. And I was a little disappointed, I have to say, because I looked forward to it for a long time. And there was that twinge of, this doesn't work for me. And the devil was able to get a little distraction. And before I left, somebody said something to me that I took the wrong way. Or I got a little bit irritated by. And there it was again. Another dart came in. And I was distracted. You know, that ruined my entire weekend. I was grumpy all weekend long. It was hot, it was sticky, there was mosquitoes.
And you didn't see a single deer.
And I didn't see a single deer. And I was, by the time the weekend was up, I was like, this is for the birds. It was just, I was just in a bad mood. I had a headache. I just, and I was thinking this entire time. I was thinking about what had happened. And instead of remembering my identity, I was distracted by somebody else's viewpoint. I was distracted by what somebody else had done. That I had no business. I had no business even being angry about it. But I was mad. And it's those little things that can get to us, that the devil loves to get. We need armor. Because that weekend, instead of going up and really being a blessing to my sister and my brother-in-law, really being a blessing to other people around me, I went to their church up there, and I walked in, and I sat down, and I will admit to you, I didn't talk to a single person. I sat there, I went through the service, I got up, I said, boys, let's go, and out the door we went. I was not in the mood. Why? Because I was distracted. I could have ministered to people there. They are a little weird, but it's all right. I could have ministered to them. I could have walked up to people. I knew people there. I go up there so often that I go to their church when I'm there over the weekend, and I know those people. And I could have put myself aside, and I could have ministered. I could have served, whether it would be just saying hello. I didn't even say hello to anybody. Walked in and walked out. Because I let Satan get a little dart, and I let it stick. And that stick burned, or that dart burned. And I thought about it more than I was thinking about my identity in Christ. Who I was in Him. I thought about... So many times we get distracted. And if there's anything that will set us back and set us down and keep us from standing, it'll be other people, right? It'll be those little irritations that are just little. They're just darts. They don't kill us, but they set us back. They set us down. And when we're sitting down, or we're waylaid, or are we effective? Are we serving? Are we ministering to other people? When we let those thoughts, those little bees buzzing around our heads, distract us and we start swatting at them, and we let that be grab our attention instead of the Word of God. In this scripture, it says in verse Well, let's just read again from 17. It says, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. God has really been convicting me lately of how I think and who I put first, especially in the morning. In the morning, we should be waking up. And for me, this is terribly hard. I pass no judgment on anybody. This is terrible. I don't care what time of day it is. I'm not a studier. I don't read very well. It takes me hours to read a chapter because my brain is wired a little bit weird, I believe. And yeah, you got it from me. So I'm easily distracted, and to be quite honest with you, I have to admit, in myself, I don't care to study. To read is tough. To study is even worse. I can't, it's hard for me to get up. I have to purpose to get up in the morning and do it, because God wants us to start our days doing what? Putting on the armor. That's how we do it, right? That's how we do it. The morning, the night, during the day, we're supposed to be standing, right? And then God pulls us and gives us rest. And the next morning, when you're a soldier, you've got that armor on the entire day, right? You get pulled off the line. You're given time to rest. Somebody else steps up. If you're a soldier, you're pulled off that line, you can take that armor off. We don't really take it off. It's always there, but God gives us rest. He gives us time to. But in the morning, it's time to put that armor on again. And we put that armor on again so that we can fight our battles. And we put that armor on so we can stand in the gap. So that we can minister to others. We put that armor on so that we're not distracted from doing what we're supposed to do. And that is something that I've been battling with. On the way to work, you know, that has always been my time to jam. I love turning on music and just you know, driving to work and I'm jamming out to my tune. That has always been a thing for me. And now these boys have got me onto these little FM jammers, where they stick into your cigarette lighter or whatever they are now. They're not, they don't call them that anymore, do they? They just call them power ports or whatever. And I get on my phone and now I can play. I don't even have to listen to the radio anymore. I can play whatever I want, you know, and as if we needed that, you know. We needed one more thing to make ourselves selfish. we can't even listen to something that somebody else puts on. We have to listen to what we want, you know. But that has always been my time for music, and when I soon after the missions conference, I really started focusing on, okay, this is my morning time. I'm going to put Christian music on. And And that's great. That's fine. But it's gotten to the place now where I get up in the morning and I want a devotional. Because I know that if I don't put that armor on, Satan has a chance to get at me throughout that day. And whether it's listening to Scripture or whether it's worshiping, there's nothing wrong with that. We're putting on that armor, and we put on that armor in the morning to get us through that day. Just to stand. And that's God. It's not us. We're not standing with that armor is holding us up. In today's day and age, you don't have to look around far until you realize that we've been saying this for thousands of years. The disciples said this right after Christ was resurrected, that it was the end of days, right? But boy, you look around and it's got to be close. It's got to be. We have a short window of opportunity here. So my challenge to you all tonight is be prepared. Take that time in the morning. Purpose in the morning to dedicate that day to God. Purpose in the morning to say, I can't get through this day without you. I can't walk. I can't fight. I can't stand. I can't even stand without you. Purpose every morning, because there's somebody that's going to need to see us standing. I am convinced of that more now than I ever was in my entire life. Somebody needs to see believers standing firm, not being swayed back and forth, not letting circumstances dictate our stance, not letting circumstances dictate our moods, not letting circumstances dictate our belief. The world needs to see us stand. God will guide each and every one of us, and He will hold us up. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You and praise You. Because without You, we are just another chief of sinners. Without Your grace and Your mercy, we're just another person. You have said that we are Yours. You have said that we are Your children, that we are princes, heirs to the kingdom. That's what You have taught called us. That is who we are. Not bound by sin. Do we sin? Absolutely. But we are no longer subject to it. We are no longer, our identity is not in that, those things. Our identity is in you. And with your strength and with your power and with your armor, you will stand us. That doesn't sound like very good English, but you will keep us standing. Right? And we thank you for that. We thank you that it's not up to us. You are our provider. You are our sustainer. And you will keep us standing. We thank you for that, Father. We praise you. And we just ask that you would continue as we go on to be mindful to not forget our armor, not to live in that identity that you have given us, Father. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.